Happy Easter, my friends, and welcome to this time of worship together. It is a joy to be in the house of God with all of you who are here and to be connected through the Spirit to those of you who are joining us over live stream. We're so glad to be together and celebrate the second Sunday of the Easter season. I want to especially welcome those of you who are visiting with us for the very first time or for the second or third time. We're so glad that you're here and hope that you feel the presence of the living Christ in our midst as we worship. I invite everyone to take just a moment to register your attendance, if you would. Here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row that you can sign in and pass down the row. There's also a QR code in the bulletin you can scan and register digitally that way. And if you are visiting with us and are looking for a place to call your church home, we'd love for you to share a phone number or an email address with us, and we can reach out to you and begin sharing that conversation together. There's a link online you can place in your browser if you need to register your attendance over live stream. Before I share any other announcements, I want to take a moment to say an official word of welcome to our preacher for the day. Many of you know Dr. Tammy Lewis Wilborn already. She has been with us as part of our staff since October in her second year of Divinity School across the street at Vanderbilt, and she's doing her field education among us, so she has been doing ministry with us and reflecting on that ministry, and it's just a joy to be part of that journey with you. And she will bring us an important word this morning, and so we're so glad that you're here, and we are open-minded and open-hearted to receive what the Lord will bring through you today. So thank you for being with us. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. This afternoon at 2:30, there is a dedication of the Habitat House that we helped to build this past fall. Roman Steele, many of you know Roman, is the owner of that home, and so if you are able to go and celebrate that with him, the details are in the bulletin. There are other details about all of these things I'm announcing, so be sure and read your bulletins carefully. Next Saturday at 2 p.m., we have a new group of West End walkers who are going to be gathering to take a walk, meeting at the Nature Center at Edwin Warner Park at 2 o'clock next Saturday. Hopefully the weather will be like it is today. Then next Sunday, we'll start another new member class. If you have been worshiping and would like to consider becoming a member officially of the church, that class starts next Sunday at 9:45 up in the Fourth Story Theater and will run for 4 weeks. And finally, just to mark your calendars for April 21st, that's a Sunday at 5 p.m., we will welcome author Dana Trent. And there's information about her latest book and some of the topics she'll be working through with us in the Fourth Story Theater. In this season of Easter, we are living into God's calling to love as God loves us. We experience that love through the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so as we live into that calling, let us open our hearts and minds to this time of worship together.
Thank you. invite you to join with me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Sing for joy. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the
name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's lesson comes from Genesis 45, verses 1 through 8. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" His brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, who you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine that has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt." The word of God for the people of God.
I want to invite all of the children up for our children's moment. If you will join me up here, Pastor Carol and Pastor Shannon. Come on up, don't be afraid. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, friends. How are you all? Good, 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 good. So as the rest of our friends are coming up, I want to ask a question. How many of you have had somebody do something that hurt your feelings? If you've had somebody, somebody has hurt your feeling or said things that were hurtful. And I wonder, will anybody tell us, what did you do when they hurt your feelings? Does anybody want to say what they did when they hurt, when your feelings were hurt? Yeah.
When my sister was playing, she sometimes hits me. Sometimes.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Well, one of the things that I want to tell us today is that today's lesson gives us an opportunity to think about something else that we can do when people hurt our feelings. Has anybody heard of the word forgiveness? Yeah, forgiveness, right? Well, the beautiful thing about the story that we hear today is that forgiveness is something that we can do when somebody hurts our feelings or does something to make us feel bad. And forgiveness is really a big word that tells us that even though somebody hurts us, we don't have to hurt them back. That even when we are hurt, we don't have to hurt other people. And so today, I hope that we will remember that when we are children of God, that we show kindness and love, and we spread kindness and love in the world that sometimes wants to hurt us. Can we agree to that? Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for reminding us that even when people hurt us, we don't have to hurt others. That forgiveness is our opportunity to be kind, to use kind words, to use kind hands, to spread love as you would have us to spread. Amen. All right, so if you are ages 3, 4, and 5, you will head to Children's Church this way. Bye, friend. And if you are older than 5, you will hang out with your family and your friends that you came with. I want to invite you to point your hands this way as a sign of connection with me as I pray. Point your hands this way, please, as a sign of connection. Holy God of many names and no name at all, thank you for this day. Your people are gathered here today, God, hoping that they might hear a word from you out of the mouth of this vulnerable vessel. Now, God, I need you to do only what you can do in me and through me. Put your super on my natural so that the words that come out of my mouth will be as if I've eavesdropped on the conversations between you and the hearers of this message. When it is all said and done, God, may the hearers be edified and you be glorified. I love you, and we love you, and we're so grateful that you love us more. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends, for the time that is mine, I want to talk about the topic, forgiveness is not what you think. Forgiveness is not what you think. I want to launch into this topic with the following sticky statement. Forgiveness is complicated because its isness is confusing. What did she say? I got you. Forgiveness is complicated because its isness is confusing. In other words,
It is hard to do forgiveness because it is hard to define forgiveness. Now, I know that doing forgiveness might be bad grammar, but it's good theology. Because if we're being honest, most of us would agree we really don't know what forgiveness is. Now, we do know that forgiveness is a virtue. In Luke chapter 11, verse 4, in our Lord's Prayer, we say, "And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Colossians 3 and 13, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." And I suspect some of us in this room are old enough to remember the movement of, what would Jesus do? You remember. Buttons, bracelets, bumper stickers. You remember, we saw it. WWJD question mark. To show Christ Jesus as a model of forgiveness. And before I read the Bible for myself to the question of what would Jesus do, I might have had a firm answer. But if you ask me now, I have actually more questions. Are we talking about Jesus of Nazareth when he wept? Or are we talking about when he turned over the money tables? Or are we talking about the Jesus of Nazareth when he called out the hypocrisy of so-called religious and political leaders? Which Jesus are we talking about? But let me stay on track, because I think we can agree that forgiveness is a virtue. But can we also agree that forgiveness is a weapon? It's a weapon that we wield to vindicate abusers and silence the abused. When we blame and shame the oppressed for not being good Christians because they are angry and resentful about being oppressed, we are wielding forgiveness as a weapon. But I need you to hear me clearly. It is a form of religious and spiritual abuse when we make theological claims that produce or perpetuate harm and absolve the wrongdoers from responsibility and accountability. And I believe that the abuse, misuse, and underuse of forgiveness is possible because many of us don't really have a clue about what forgiveness is or even yet how we do it. But let me say again, forgiveness is complicated because its isness is confusing. Now, Jesus, our teacher for today's lesson, gives us some insights about how to forgive. But before we get there, I want to talk first about what and why we forgive. I like to define forgiveness as the act of accepting the reality of and the emotional responses to an offense, and the letting go of the responsibility for the actions of the offender. In other words, forgiveness is decisional, emotional, and behavioral. When we forgive, we acknowledge that something bad happened that harmed us because someone else made a bad decision. I mean, you do recognize that we have the choice to do good or to do harm, don't you? Surely, you recognize that. Deuteronomy 30 and 15 says, "Today, I am giving you a choice between good and evil, between life and death." You see, choosing good requires a God consciousness that orients your mindset, your motivation, and your movement toward liberation, love, justice, and mercy. Let us imagine a world where we took seriously the belief that God is a life-giving God instead of a death-dealing God. Now, this is an important question because of a prevailing theology of suffering in which God is the offender. God is the wrongdoer. Senseless, reckless, and unjustified actions that claim the lives of the innocent, we say, are God's will. God is to blame for suffering. And I get it. Because suffering requires interpretation. When bad things happen beyond our control and comprehension, we need it to make sense. We need to make it make sense. But unfortunately, our interpretations have been attributed to the choices of God instead of the choices of God's people. You know, God's people. The brothers who, while Joseph was dreaming about his rise, were scheming about his fall. You got God's people, the family and friends who betrayed, abandoned, or abused you. God's people, those religious and political leaders who seem to be more interested in people-pleasing, profits, and propaganda than they are caring for and about the people they claim they serve. God's people, not the enemy out there, but the enemy within. God's people. Might I remind you that forgiveness is complicated because its isness is confusing. But there's a reason why we should forgive. How many of us have heard that forgiveness is not for them, it's for you? Anybody heard that? I certainly have. And guess what? Turns out they were right. Because empirical studies show that the mental health benefits of forgiveness include reduced feelings of anger and resentment, lower levels of anxiety, improved self-esteem, low levels of depression, improved social relationships, and higher levels of hopefulness and optimism. The data also show that the physical health benefits of forgiveness include lower levels of blood pressure and cholesterol, reduced risk of heart disease, lower stress levels, healthier immune systems, and improved sleep quality. Forgiveness is good for your body and your soul. So now that we know what and why we forgive, let's return to the scripture for today's sermon about how to forgive. And let me set the background for you. So Joseph's brothers plotted to kill him, threw him in a pit, and sold him to be trafficked. They lied and told their father Jacob that Joseph was dead. Meanwhile, Joseph was trafficked to and incarcerated in Egypt before moving into Pharaoh's palace and becoming his second in command. And a famine hits Canaan, and Jacob tells Joseph's 10 older brothers to go to Egypt to buy grain. And it is in Egypt that the brothers appear before Joseph, who recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. Now, I'ma just be honest. Now, this is just Tammy talking. If I had been betrayed by my siblings, placed in a pit, sold into human trafficking. I see people snickering. Y'all know. You're laughing for a good reason. If I had been incarcerated and my brother showed up asking for help, forgiveness would not have been the first thing on my mind. Y'all laughing because y'all know it's true. But thank God y'all did not come to hear what Tammy did or would do. I'm just going to invite you to pray for me. That's all you do. Just pray for me. Now, when we look at Genesis 45, verses 1 through 8, we see Joseph providing us with several clues about how to forgive. The first thing I think we see is that Joseph feels the feels. Now, before you say, Wilborn, you're a therapist, you would say that. Now, you would not be wrong. That would be true. But verses 1 and 2 say, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, send everyone away from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph wept so loudly that everyone heard him, and it didn't matter to him that he was a man or a leader. And we don't really know why he wailed. But if you put your thinking caps on, I bet you could come up with some good guesses. I mean, was it betrayal? Was it brokenheartedness? Could it have been anger? Maybe joy. It might have been surprise. Maybe it was relief that his father was still alive. It could have been all of that and more. It could have been none of that. We don't know. Your guess is really as good as mine. But feelings like forgiveness are complicated. And like forgiveness, feeling your feelings is good for your body and spirit. And I believe that Joseph's tears enabled him to release the pain and respond with forgiveness. I think the second thing that I see is that Joseph didn't forget the offense. Verse 4 says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come closer to me.' And they came closer, and he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt.'" You see, Joseph names the offense and the offenders. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not remaining silent about the harm that was done. Forgiveness is not a lack of accountability. Forgiveness frees you to acknowledge the wrongdoing, hold the wrongdoer accountable, and then decide a course of action that privileges your personhood and prioritizes your peace. I think the third thing that we see is that Joseph flipped the script. Verses 7 and 8 say, "God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God." Joseph shows us that when we forgive, we don't have to change how the story started. But when we co-author with God, we can change how the story ends. Somebody's bad actions may derail you, but they don't define you. Finally, with Joseph, we see that forgiveness is the freeway to flourishing. Verse 8 again, "So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all of Egypt." Forgiveness helped Joseph to proclaim God's favor in his life in the face of his enemies. Forgiveness gives way to the hope that propels you onward and forward along God's preferred path for your life and life more abundantly. This is the good news for the people of God. Let God's forgiven say amen.
As God's forgiven ones, we have the opportunity to respond with profession of our faith in this forgiving and merciful God. So I invite you to stand as you're able and join me in professing our faith together in the affirmation of faith that's printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our response to the word we have heard this morning by praying together and gathering all of our prayers as one and bring them before God. If you have prayer concerns or joys that you would like to share with the congregation or with the pastoral staff, there are prayer cards in the pew racks that you can fill out and place in the offering plates as they go by. You can always go to our website under Contact Us. There's a place where you can share your prayer concerns as well. And please let us know if you'd like those to remain within the confidence of the pastoral staff or if we can print the name of your loved ones on our printed prayer list. In your bulletin today is our prayer list, and we invite you to be in prayer for those friends and family that are named there. As we gather our prayers this day, we have many families and friends for whom we're praying together as a congregation. We're asking comfort and seeking the Lord's peace in the lives of Jim and Nancy Culver and their family, who are mourning the death of Jim's brother, Charles Culver, who passed away on March 29th. Services were held on Friday in Dresden, Tennessee. Dave, Heather, Wright, and Margot Goodridge and their family are mourning the death of Dave's father, Malcolm Goodridge III, who passed away on March 29th in Hilton Head, South Carolina. We also want to lift up our love and care to the family and friends of our church member, Barbara Love, who died on April 3rd at the age of 89. Arrangements for celebrating her life will take place on Wednesday, April 10th, this week. We'll begin visitation at 12:30 in Reed Hall with a service at 2 o'clock following. We also offer our deep love and prayers and sympathies to Eric, Ella, and Madeline Gamble as they mourn the death of their wife and mother, Jody Gamble, who died on April 3rd. Information on arrangements for the celebration of her life will be coming up. And let us now turn our hearts to God in a spirit of prayer together. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of the empty tomb, we gather before you today as your Easter people. Our alleluias still ring in the air as today we hold tightly to the promise of resurrection, to the assurance that life conquers death, that love defeats hate, that your justice and righteousness are being manifest even now, even here, that forgiveness and renewal is possible through your power. We claim your Easter promise, acknowledging that we also hold much heaviness in our hearts. Though the tomb is empty, in many ways it looms before us. We are grieving today, O God. There are many from our church family who are no longer with us. Many of us have lost family, friends, mentors, and colleagues, and we grieve. We struggle with broken relationships and long for reconciliation. We face illnesses of body, mind, and spirit. We hold anxiety and worry for our world, its conflicts, its leaders, its peoples, its resources. And so, loving God, in the silence, hear the needs of our hearts that we lay before you. O God of the Easter sunrise that shined light into the depths of the tomb, we thank you for loving us even before we could love you, for forgiving us before we deserved it, for sending us Jesus to show us the way of love and life. Help us to join your Holy Spirit in the work of healing, reconciliation, forgiveness, and love that you are doing in this world, here and now. In the name of Christ, the risen one, we pray. Amen. Continuing our grateful response for all that God has done for us, let us now gather our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Here in the sanctuary, our ushers will be coming forward with the offering plates, passing them along the rows. And if you're joining us online, you're invited to give as you're able through the prompts provided on the screen. May we give this day with joy and gratitude to the God who first loved us.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God of love, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and through your loving kindness, we have been welcomed at this table. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on all of us who are gathered, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. I invite you to share with us in the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
A family in Christ, this is the body of Christ, broken and given in love to you and to me and to all the world. And this is the cup of grace, the cup of forgiveness, the cup of life poured into all of us that we might have life and forgive and love. And now, my friends, the table is set, and the invitation has been issued by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. It is his table, and all who are here and all who are not here are welcome at this table. So we invite you to come. If this is your first time receiving communion in this particular congregation, just a few words of instruction to help you along the way. Our choir will be served first, followed by those in the balcony and transepts, and then the remainder of us in the center will be coming forward. We'll come forward to the altar rails and kneel as you're able. If you will have your hands open, that will allow our servers to know you have yet to be served, and also help us to be in a posture of receiving the grace that is offered here. All of the elements, the bread is gluten-free. Once you have received those elements, you are welcome to stay at the altar rails in prayer as long as you would like to do so. If you are unable to come forward or would prefer not to, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with the prepackaged elements. And if you'll just wave to me as I walk by, I will serve you happily in your seats. Every month as we come forward for communion, we have an opportunity to support one of our missions of our church, and our communion offering in April will go toward Restoration Point, which is a nonprofit that encompasses and directs several ministries providing services for our displaced and homeless neighbors right here in Nashville. These ministries flow out of and are housed in our mother church, McKendree United Methodist Church, just downtown. So as you're able, we invite you to support the work that they're doing downtown. And now the table is open and all are welcome. Come and receive the grace and forgiveness and love that is here for you.
Thank you.
Will you rise in body or spirit and join with me in giving thanks for all that we have just received? You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.
As a confession of faith, Christ died that we might be forgiven. As an expression of faith, the gates of the emotional prison you've been in are open. Go forth onward and forward with boldness and courage to love, to have joy, and to have peace. Amen.